It's good to be with you this morning. We are, obviously, it's Mother's Day, and one of the things that is unique is we do baptisms on the Mother's Day. I think it's a beautiful time to see the way that moms and the way the Holy Spirit connect together to continue to form disciples, because that is who and what we do. At Pine Lake, our mission and vision is to help people find and follow Jesus. But also what that means for you, how do you live that out? That we are disciples of Jesus. We talk about being apostles of Jesus, training and becoming more like Jesus. So we believe that our three-fold discipleship happens in three ways. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what he did. And this is how we become apprentices, and this is how we continue to live a life formed in the way of Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to talk about this idea of how Jesus did, and also how we are called to be people who multiply disciples. One of the things I love that just happened recently, starting in March, it's March Madness. Anybody know? Anybody else? Anybody else? It's not only a reason for me just to sit and get less work done, as you like have it on another screen and watching every game. But it's also, I love commercials. I love hearing stories and seeing during this big event how companies, and particularly the NCAA, is telling their story. Because what you're seeing so much are all of these athletes doing what none of us can do, right? I am 5'7" and I cannot touch the rim. I don't know about any of you. We have a gym over there. If you can touch the rim, let's go. Let's find out who can do that. But one of the things that I love about the way that NCAA tells their story is that they highlight all of these students that are probably going to go pro, but then there's a commercial that comes on, and it says, and it goes through all of these student athletes and what sport they play and how many of what you will see are athletes that are going to go on to be professionals. But they said, I love this tagline, the majority of us are going professional in something else. And one of the things that I keep thinking about always is that what something that they have trained for most of their life to get to this place, whether it is Division III, Division II, Division I, that they have been working hard to attain this. And then all of a sudden, they get asked to be in this commercial that says, hey, you're not good enough. But please come and do a commercial and tell us what else you're going to do. And it is a beautiful but also sad part of this life that we live in is that we are always striving after something, but the truth is that we will not always earn it. It will not always naturally come to us. And maybe what's something that comes naturally to you comes more naturally to others, and there's a limitation to which you can go. But one of the things that we talk about disciples, that discipleship in the way of Jesus is uniquely different. Because it's not something that you earn, or something that you get, or something that comes to you because you're better than other people's. When we talk about discipleship, that you become disciples who make disciples. That it is not something that is conditional on how good you are at it, or how in comparison somebody is better than you at it. But when you meet this guy, Jesus, who says that he is the Savior of the world, the Lord over all creation, and he calls you to say, follow me and be my disciple, it's not contingent. It's something that is wired in you. And so this morning, we want to talk about what does it look like as disciples who not only just love to be in relationship with Jesus, but wants to share and multiply the way of Jesus. And so we're going to sit in this in Acts chapter 1 this morning. And so if you want to pull your Bible out, whether it's a physical or digital copy, again, we let you, we're a church that, you know, the Bible on your phone is just as good as the Bible in your hand. And so this is Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. It says this. He said to them, it is not for you to know the time and dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so would you join me in prayer as we prepare to hear God's word? Father, all of us come with the fullness of who we are right now. And Father, while it might feel like we are lacking, that we are less than, Father, we want you. We want you who can remind us of who we are and whose we are. So would you send the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see you? Would you send the Holy Spirit to give us ears to hear you? Holy Spirit, would you give us a heart to receive you? And Holy Spirit, would you open our mind to know you more? We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. One of the things that I thought is really interesting, depending on what culture you grew up in geography, I grew up in Texas. And one of the things as being a sport athlete in Texas is that you were always after one thing, a Letterman jacket. I still have mine. It's embarrassing. But it is this cultural and sociological thing in Texas that if you are an athlete, the one thing that you are striving for is to letter in a sport. Not only to letter in a sport, but how many times you letter and how many different sports you letter in. The more, but it's like, you know, like how things, ladies are bedazzled. This is men's bedazzling. The arm all the way down both sides and on the back and all over. Is that you want to walk around bedazzled with lettering. But you know one of the things that is funny about that? Is when you look on somebody's and it's incomplete. Like what you would notice on each year that you play varsity this sport, you get a letter. And if you look at different people's, you'll see some things that are filled all the way. Some that are partially, some that are incomplete. You know what is interesting about that? Is that at any moment, at any time, it can be taken away from you. I was a soccer three-letter, 3 years I lettered in varsity soccer. And then my senior year, I didn't. You want to know why? One, I was kind of bored of it. And two, I wasn't good enough. All of a sudden, it was taken away from me. That I was no longer the best starting left fullback. And so thus, you walk around with your identity taken away from you. One of the things that I think is really interesting is that we talk about how the natural result of something in our world today can always be taken away. But the natural result of receiving the Holy Spirit, of confessing and believing in God, is becoming a witness of Jesus Christ. One of the things that I think we battle with is this ability or inability to feel like we are becoming, and yet in our becoming, we are afraid that it'll be taken away. I don't know about you, but watching that video, I wonder so much if we not only watch it, but deep down in our souls, we wonder and we question moms, for those that might not have had children, or as many as they wanted. Have I not earned it? Was I not good enough for it? Was someone else a better mom than me? And so the Lord blessed them instead of me. Or how about maybe you as a son or daughter wondering how much you can earn the love of your parents, of your father and your mother. And then every once in a while, that is going to be the dictating factor for how you relate to them. Am I good enough? Have I done the right thing? Have I continued to be in a right relationship with my parent? Whatever that means, if it means just being in obedience all the time, instead of doing my own thing and living in tension consistently, does it mean calling enough when I'm a college student and gone away? Or as a young adult, do I continue to come home for Christmas, Thanksgiving? Do I call on Mother's Day? That for some of us, the things that naturally are bestowed upon us by God, we believe are circumstantial. But this is not so with the kingdom and the way of Jesus. In Acts, it says this if-then relationship. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the places and the dates that the Father has set on his own authority, but whenever Jesus says it, it's like, hey, focus in on a second. Everybody who's in here, focus. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Do you see this if-then relationship? If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will receive the Holy Spirit, the power that comes from him, and you will become my disciples. You will be witnesses. There is this relationship of something that naturally is bestowed on you and isn't taken away. Whether you're good enough, whether you know enough, whether you live the right way that you're supposed to or not, it won't be taken away. The Holy Spirit is on you. That if you confess, believe, and receive the Holy Spirit who has been after you, then you will be my witnesses. You will be empowered by not your own works, but you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives within you, not next to you, who that you either outpace or fall behind or walk away from or walk so close to, that the Holy Spirit abides in you. That same power isn't called upon if you say the right enchanting words in a prayer, or if you spend enough times in the Word for multiple hours a day. It is not taken away from you. It is a natural result of confessing, believing, and receiving the Holy Spirit. It's not only that we are called to be people who follow after Jesus, but that we make disciples of Jesus. This idea of multiplication requires messengers. It requires those who have confessed, those who believe, to be in relationship. You don't have baptisms without messengers. You don't have baptisms without the partnering of the Holy Spirit empowering in you to not only make a public confession of faith in Jesus Christ, the declaration that Christ is Lord. You don't have to do You don't have it without the messenger. Think about even in Jesus' life. We don't just say this as awesome as like, oh, this is a really good hook. This is in Scripture. That as Jesus was walking towards his own baptism, he walks to John the Baptist, who is declaring, who was called by the Spirit to make a way in the wilderness, to call those into repentance. And even Jesus came seeking to be baptized by John. There was a messenger going before Jesus, declaring that the Messiah was here. And Jesus, the Messiah, shows up and says to John, I too must be baptized. That this is the relationship of the messenger and the Holy Spirit. That it is not done by your own empowerment. It is not done by your own ability, but it's you and I and all of us who have responded to somebody who went before us as a messenger in the wilderness of our lives, calling us to hear the good news that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, is here. We have long been waiting for him. He really did what he said he would do. He did die on the cross. He was raised from the dead. And you and I, all of us, when we have this baptism, is not just a passive participation. It is a remembering of our own baptism. When we come and in practices and different denominations and different backgrounds of churches, that they call you to remember your baptism, to go in and to touch the water and say, I remember this moment of my own life. And then I call you to remember the one who came before you. Paul writes it beautifully. The charge for us as disciples of Jesus, he says this, how then can they, those who haven't heard, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Friends, how could you believe if a messenger wasn't sent, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that it was abiding in them, transformed from the inside out, so passionate about finding this Jesus, who have they have been desperately waiting for, has offered them forgiveness, mercy, grace, entrance into the family of God that isn't conditional, that is unconditional. And they were so in love with this message that they were sent so that they could tell you the good news of Jesus Christ, so that you could ask the questions you need to ask, that you too could come to the point to say, is this really who you say it is? And then coming to a place of belief that Jesus really is who he says he is. The Holy Spirit is really present, just like he said he would send it. And I see it not only in the one who came to give me the good news, but I've started to recognize it in my own life. That before I even confess with my mouth, before I even begin to fully believe, I see the Spirit move, changing in little places, opening my heart and mind that this could be what I'm missing and what I desperately need. In Jesus' baptism, at the end of it, there's this beautiful moment where a dove descends from the heavens. It opens up, and God speaks out and says, this is my Son, and who I am well pleased. This is one of the moments in Scriptures where you see both the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit who descends, present, who have broken the barrier of creation and entered into physical space with human beings. This same thing happens to us. It happened in Acts, and it happens every day in those who confess, who believe that Jesus is Lord. That the Holy Spirit not only descends, but enters in and abides in us, takes up his refuge in us, that it calls the Holy Spirit as a dwelling place, that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell the place that he knows he's going to leave. He dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and me, not just so that we might grow deeper in knowledge of him, deeper in experience of it, but it reminds us that the message of abiding is that the Holy Spirit who has pursued us, who has sent someone to us, that has spoken through to us through them, has also convicted us. And then, that is not the end of the line. We are so linear that we believe that the end of the story is when you and I confess, believe, repent, and are baptized. But the beautiful part of Scripture, what you think of the end is just the beginning. That because of responding to the message, to seeing the transformation in our own life, and I've witnessed it here in this space, that the news is so good that your lives are becoming more and more like Jesus as you are with him, and as you begin to respond by doing what Jesus did, by being presenters, witnesses of the gospel in your home, in the places around that are in your vicinity, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in the places that surround, in family members and friends that are around the country, and then in the globe. I've watched this. I've seen this. That God calls us where we believe the end as disciples of Jesus is just the beginning. That we, in the same way that Jesus sent out his disciples two by two to go into towns to spread the good news of that Jesus Christ is here, the Messiah is here, all you've been waiting for, all that you have wanted is present. That we are sent out to go find people, to be the messengers for the ones that don't know. To go and to get together, to sit with them and say, I have been transformed. Can I tell you about this? Or a discipleship that may be a little bit longer of a road. Maybe for some of our kids. maybe family members, maybe neighbors, where my preaching of the gospel is first shown in how I live and how I engage you with patience, with kindness, with goodness, with self-control. And in that transformation, in a partnership with the Holy Spirit, and you get the opportunity not just to be a messenger in how you live, but in what you say. How is it possible for you to live this way? How is it possible in a world where everything can be taken away from you and your identity that you are so solid in who you are? The questions come, and then you're invited, not in your own power, but in power through the Holy Spirit to share the good news that my life is transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ, that I know love that I've never known before. It is no longer conditional as I've always known it, but it is unconditional. And that's the way that I've been trying to love you. That's been the way that I'm trying to empower my life to engage all people. It's not through my own power, but through the power of the Spirit, so that we might have an opportunity to see more of what we're about to see. Lives and people, messengers in this community that have walked by these young adults and these teens to be messengers of the good news of Jesus Christ, so that they too can come up and publicly declare to you in the same way that you and I have that I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is my Savior. And my allegiance is to him and him alone, today and every day. Not only in this age, but the age to come. I'm all in. And that is the moment where we remember, we charge one another, that this is not the end. This is just the beginning. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, you have been speaking soft words. You have been tugging at our heart, gently nudging in our thoughts. That as we come to this moment, the question that might be for us, do I believe that you are who you say you are? Can I confess with my mouth that I believe it? That I know that I can't earn it, but it's something that I naturally receive. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the messengers that went before us, that we stand here not on our own volition and our own ability, but we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, those whose feet are beautiful, that carried the good news to us so that we might carry the good news too. Holy Spirit, would you remind us right now, those messengers who came. Holy Spirit, who have you been calling us to be the messengers? To have beautiful feet that brings beautiful good news, that they might know of a love that is like no other. Holy Spirit, continue to speak as we watch, as we see the transformation unfold before our eyes. We ask this in your name.